The champions begin the defence of their crown. A 20th league title is the aim in this 20th Premier League season. Young finds Rooney, edge of the area. Rooney shoots, brilliant goal. That is absolutely outstanding. Wayne Rooney's off to a flyer in this new campaign. This is Young, onto his right foot. Young! Oh, stunner! And can you believe that Manchester United have scored 8 goals against Arsenal? Records will be shredded here. Nani! Oh, brilliant! You can watch it again and again and again. Utterly outstanding from Nani, and United lead 2-0. Silva, oh no, Dzeko's through again here. Dzeko one-on-one. Dzeko with a chance to hit United for 6. He has! City scores 6 at Old Trafford. Well, what a special weekend at Old Trafford. This stadium marking Sir Alex Ferguson's 25th anniversary as United manager. Guard of honour from the two teams, and then the stage is his. Valencia beats Arshavin. Still he goes on, gets the ball back. Valencia, can he finish it? Danny Welbeck might have just won it for Manchester United with 9 minutes to go. Arsenal 1, United 2. Ryan Giggs has a little look up. Great chance! Oh, it's 3-3! It's Chicharito! And the comeback kings have produced something quite extraordinary here. Now Valencia. Driven! Oh, what a strike! And that's what champions are made of! Blackburn 0, United 1. Fellaini on the turn. Great chance! Oh, no, it's 4-4. Can't believe it! Pienaar for Everton. Disaster for United. They led 4-2 and 3-1, and now it's 4-4 with 6 minutes to go. That's it. It's over to you, Manchester City. United have done all they can do. Now United have to wait to see what happens at the Etihad Stadium. And in agonising fashion, the news has come through that Manchester City have scored to win 3-2 right at the death, and therefore win the title.
Welcome to Red Voices, the official Manchester United podcast. I'm David Stowell from MUTV, and this week I'm joined by Adam Marshall from ManUnited.com, Paul Davis from United Review, and former United fullback Arthur Alberston. Coming up in today's show, we reflect on a dramatic end to the season and look back on some highs and some lows. We test the panel on the Reds' 2011-2012 campaign. We hear from Phil Jones and a positive Wayne Rooney. And finally, we turn our attention to transfers and look at potential ins and outs ahead of the transfer window. First of all, guys, the season came to an end in the cruelest way possible as City netted in the dying minutes to win their first title since 68. What a climax of the campaign, Arthur.
Yeah, you couldn't have... The TV people that covered it couldn't have written the script any better, really. We were clutching at straws, obviously, on the last day of the season. You're hoping that other teams do you a favour, and it's not ideal when you're in a situation like that. And as well as City have been playing, it doesn't matter who you play the last game. If that league title is out to be won, you get nervous. And going up to the game, actually driving up, we were discussing it, the lad I was driving with, and was saying we need United to score a goal quickly to put pressure on the crowd, who then transmit it to City. And we need Bolton's game to stay alive as long as possible. Obviously, if City went 3-0 up at half-time, that's good night. But anyway, the whole scenario panned out just perfectly, really. And that's the first time I've watched United for about 5 or 6 games that really I was sat back, you could sort of relax because we're going to win that game, not a problem. You know, probably Rooney should have walked off with the match ball, but it was just comfortable. But in all the information you're getting from Eastlands and everything, you know, and people are asking me because it's Barton's been sent off and oh dear. And people in the press box, you know, United fans, I said, oh, City haven't got the ball the second half, it's all QPR, you know. So it was comfortable, but to be taken away so cruelly right at the end, difficult, but you've got to get over it. I felt sorry, especially for the younger lads who haven't won a Premiership title. Obviously, Giggs and Scholes, you've got loads of them, but hard to take when you're almost going to celebrate and then, no, you've not won it. So they're all professional, and as I say, for some of the young lads, a little bit harder to take, but I'm sure Phil Jones will be wiser for the experience, and Danny Welbeck sat in the stand, obviously, but they'll all benefit from the experience to have something so nearly won and then snatched away, and they're going away with England in the next few weeks, so hopefully they might forget it.
Well, we'll hear from Phil in a second, but it's interesting that you say that, really, Arthur, because I suppose we went from
resigning to ourselves to losing the title to then having that hope. And at the final whistle, the expectation of lifting the trophy for then to be cruelly snatched away, Adam.
I know. I mean, I was there at Sunderland and I never once believed, apart from 1 minute at the end when we'd finished, and I just saw some United fans jumping up and down at the front of the end, and I thought, oh, they've heard that it has finished. And that was the only time for about 50 seconds or so that I thought, we are going to win it. You know, you could see them getting things ready behind the scenes, the trophy and all that kind of thing. And, you know, having all game, when I heard Barton had got sent off, when that got passed around, you thought, well, they've got no chance now, you know, QPR. And you sort of resigned yourself to it. But then to get that close, it was so frustrating. It's something I never really want to experience again, that minute and that turnaround.
United fans have been saying that it was like, now we know how Bayern Munich fans felt in 99. And I completely understand that. It kind of felt like we lost it again. It's weird because we kind of, at City, when we lost 1-0 there, I came away thinking, oh, that's it, it's gone now. And then, you know, we had a little bit of hope that Newcastle might get something, but it's out of our hands. So it's kind of got to the last game, and then we went with hope but not expectancy. And then hope seemed to really rise, and then it snatched away again. Pretty horrible way to end the season, really.
There's been some interesting criticism as well of this United squad this season. Some people in the press have said that it's a mediocre squad, but then United still got 89 points, kept up with City throughout the course of the season. I mean, a lot of criticism comes United's way just because of the fact that they're used to winning titles, I suppose, isn't it?
They've created the problem themselves, David. Gary Neville and David Beckham and Nicky Butt and Scholes and Giggs, they've created it themselves because the expectations are so high all the time. But to get 89 points and not win it, I'm sure if you said to the manager right now you're going to get 89 points next season, he'd say, right, I'll take that, because that'll probably be enough to win it. But both sides this season, City started off great, then they had a bad January and we were above them, below them, and it's all sort of turning and twisting. But you've just got to be big enough and strong enough mentally to get over that, and we go again next year, and I'm sure when we turn up here in August to watch the first home game, we've forgot about it, we'll remember it, but you know, it's the back of our mind, we've got to push on and try and get points on board early next season and get to the top of the league.
I think it's a bit of a credit to United that we have competed, given that we go through, teams generally go through cycles of like 3 years at the top and then you sort of rebuild again, and we're clearly in that rebuilding stage, and yet Manchester City have spent an absolute fortune, have got a team for now, and we matched them for points. I mean, the only time we didn't match them was in the two league games, which, you know, ultimately cost us on goal difference. But, you know, I think there's plenty of optimism to be taken from, especially as those young lads, you know, because Sir Alex said, they learn more from that disappointment of losing than they will from, you know, winning. You know, winning, it would have been nice to win it. They would have learned quite a lot from that as well. But, you know, you can take positives from it.
You talk about the two games against City. It's funny, isn't it, that obviously the game here at Old Trafford was a disaster and we won't talk about that one too much. But the game at Eastlands, basically one header wins the title for City, doesn't it? I mean, we're talking tiny, tiny margins like that. You lose your man for one corner and bang.
Johnny Evans wasn't playing, was he? I mean, he was injured. You know, he would normally have played. I think it's, you do look at that. That's the only disappointment for me when I look back at the whole season, in a way. That City game, I didn't feel we went for it like we had to. I mean, the fact that QPR then went there and scored two goals suggests that when we couldn't really muster a shot on target, that was the only disappointing aspect, I think, for the whole season. We finished well, didn't we, the last couple of games? You know, like Arthur said, we were really professional at Sunderland. We never looked like ever letting that slip. So it was just disappointing that City won without us really showing our best in that game.
Are we going to see a Manchester title race for years to come now? I mean, obviously, Chelsea have had their time of success in the league, obviously done very well this season to win the Champions League, but Arsenal have been up there in the 90s, in the noughties, if you like. But is it now United v City for many years?
I don't know. I mean, I think Yaya Toure is coming out and saying they were going to dominate the world for the next decade or something before they'd even won the league, and that nearly bit him on the behind, didn't it? So I think it's too easy to start saying. I remember when we won the first title since 68, you know, everyone in the press was saying, oh, in the year before, the Leeds United are going to dominate, and we ended up not winning the league that year. So I think it's very easy to start predicting a long way into the future. You don't know what's going to happen with the people who own the clubs, like with Chelsea and with City, or another club might get, Everton may get a massive backer and start spending big. So you can't really tell. And I think all you know is that United is in it the right way. We've got young players, we're bedding in. You know, over the next few years, they're going to get better. The manager's always got a plan where he keeps developing the team and adding to it. So we've got to be confident we'll always be up there, but I'm not sure about who else will be there in 5 or 10 years.
Is that the way you see it?
Well, I don't think City are going to go backwards. They've got, you know, he's got an open chequebook. Having said that, you've got to spend the money correctly. But when I think every player that's available this summer will probably get touted to be signing for City. Modric, Bale, Van Persie. You know, two teams of superstars, if you like, but that doesn't win your league sometimes. You've got to have lads that have come through the system, hopefully, like the manager does very well here. So, they're going to pot some money to spend, and we can't really compete, I don't think, getting sort of held to ransom, if you like, over players. So the manager will keep everything close to his chest on players he might be interested in, because Chelsea now, players will want to go to Chelsea now because they've won the European Cup at the weekend. So that makes it a little bit harder for the manager if he's got any irons in the fire with players, because everybody will want to join City, Chelsea, if it's for pure money. But the manager looks at you when he wants you when he's wanting to sign people, and he looks in your eyes to see if you're hungry, really. And he can tell, he can smell that a mile away. So we've got to put our trust in him, and if he is going to make some signings, they're going to be the right ones for the future, not just like short term, whereas people might be wanting to join City or Chelsea just purely for, right, City Premiership champions, are they going to be in the European, the European League next season, so we've got a chance of winning that, but there's no substance really behind it. They might get there with a lot of youth players coming through, but we've had a real strong substance fabric of the club with us for 20 years, with the players that the manager continues to get through the academy teams.
I think that stability is going to be the key for us, because City, they could easily get rid of Deco this summer, and he's only been there a year. And if they have that kind of turnover of players, it's going to be quite hard for them to sort of bond, get that build, that bond between the team that you see amongst the United players. You know, they're all so together. If we can keep that stability and they can keep shopping and changing the team the same way Chelsea do, then that'll keep on settling them, and they'll have good seasons. But if we can stay there, we'll always be there or thereabouts.
Interesting as well, as a slight tangent to that, the fact that Montpellier won the French League having just spent £2 million, the equivalent of £2 million. So big congratulations to them. Let's hear now from one of the playing squad. Phil Jones now looks back on his debut season with the Reds.
Yeah, it's been a good season. Probably a successful one for me, but bitterly disappointed yesterday. We didn't manage to cap it off with that title in my first season especially, but you know, we'll bounce back and I'll benefit for that next season.
Well, I must say, we did see the disappointment on your face, and I think your disappointment was shared by thousands of Manchester United fans. And just tell us, did you think you'd won it for a minute or two on the pitch?
Yeah, for a split second, you know, I thought we'd pulled off the impossible. QPR, I thought we'd done us a favour, and you know, they've scored two in the last 2 minutes, and you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but you know, we've got to just move on and look forward to next season.
And just personally for you, did you really think that coming in your first season you'd get so much pitch time in so many different places of the pitch?
No, definitely not. You know, if anyone had said to me at the start of the season you'd have made 20 appearances in a United shirt, then you know, I'd have probably laughed at them. But you know, it's been unfortunate with the injuries that we've had. But you know, it's enabled me to play a lot more this season, and you know, I've really enjoyed it.
And in terms of next season, then of course we want to lift that trophy again, don't we?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's it'd be a massive honour for me, and you know, to get that 20th title would be an amazing feeling.
So a remarkable first season really there for Phil Arthur. You said he'd be happy with 20 appearances at the start of the campaign. He actually made 45 in all competitions.
Much more than he would have expected, and probably much more than the manager would have wanted to use him. Yeah, obviously Vidic has been out for a long time. Rio missed games at the early part of the season, but Phil, we saw him play in the Youth Cup against United two or three seasons ago, and you can see the sort of player he is. And he's not foreign coming here, he's from Lancashire, so he knows what United are all about. And he slotted in fantastically well. Unfortunately for him, he was moved about different positions, which he had to do, right back, midfield, some of them centre back. But ultimately, I think he'll end up playing centre back here for a great number of years. He was probably the player I felt most sorry for when the final whistle went, and he was looking at United fans, looking at the manager, and people looking at the press box, and suddenly it's just within 30 seconds, as you pointed out before, it's just been taken away from you. Yeah, it's a hard one, but I'm sure he'll win many medals here in his career.
good group of youngsters to build around, though, isn't it? The likes of Jones, Smalling, Cleverley, Welbeck. I mean, it's a great base to have for this United side now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Jones isn't that much older than some of the Youth Cup winners we've got from last year, is he? I mean, he's only a year or so older than them. So, I mean, it is good the reserves did so well, as I'm sure we'll talk about. We've got players there that are looking the real deal now. They're coming through, you know, developing. I think Smalling's an excellent defender as well. I've always been a big fan of his. He's proved to be a really astute signing, hasn't he, at the back. So De Gea's very young in goal. I mean, he's only getting better. He's had that first season now, and you expect him to push on. He's got in the Spain squad, hasn't he? I know it's not the European squad as such, but he's got into the senior squad again. So it's all good, I think, really. You know, the players we have got are going to have be at that level. Cleverley, like say, Welbeck are going to get a bit more. Welbeck will get more experience this summer. So it's all positive, really.
Let's talk about the reserves. You brought it up. It's a very good point. Treble-winning reserve side haven't really got the credit in some quarters that they deserve for a fantastic season. I know that Warren Joyce always goes on about the fact that it's about developing players. It's not necessarily about winning games and winning titles. But it's not bad when you pick up three trophies in the process of doing that, is it?
No, I think, I mean, to go to City as well in those circumstances, the Etihad Stadium, all the City fans are crowing about winning the league. You know, the atmosphere wasn't one really that United were there, go there and win quite comfortably really in the end. And obviously against Villa, they had a lot of the first team players playing, certainly squad players from the first team here at Old Trafford. And again, we prevailed in the end on penalties. So, you know, there's so many positives to take from that. You look at the players and at any given point of the season, you might have a different opinion about a player and how he's developing. And that just shows you how fluid it is, really. You know, some players come to the fore a bit later, others a bit earlier. Michael Keane won the Player of the Year, and yet, you know, in the Youth Cup winning team, he was only at fullback, wasn't he? And couldn't get in at centre back. So it's really good to see the two Keane boys look, you know, excellent prospects. They're both in the England under-19s. We've got another couple of players in England under-19s as well. So, I mean, they're going to be first teamers hopefully in the future without putting too much pressure.
Well, the manager's got options now, hasn't he, of whether he wants to bring them into the squad and maybe give them a game in the Carling Cup, see how they do, and then send them out on loan after that if he needs to. And I think there's, you know, I think they've shown that they've more than got it at the reserve team level, so it's about stepping that challenge up for them again, and the manager will know exactly what to do and speak to Warren and work out what the best thing to do for them is. And I think if they do come into the first team squad, then you know, it will excite the United fans to see more young players coming through.
You're not bad for some of those youngsters at Youth Cup one year, reserve treble the next.
That's exactly right. And without being sort of disrespectful to where they've got to play at Altrincham, basically, they're looking for then the next step up, a bit of pressure on it. As I say, go out on loan where you're in a dressing room where it means a lot to these guys. They might not be on as much money maybe as whoever goes on loan from United, so it means a lot to go into a dressing room where people are fighting relegation or try to get in the playoffs or winning a title. So it puts a little bit more edge to it. So I'm sure there'll be a host of lads going out to get that sort of experience next season.
Yeah, from David Gill as well, saying that loan signings will be the way forward, or rather sending players out on loan will be the way forward. And I suppose from a treble-winning reserve side to a treble-winning winger, even. Antonio Valencia got all three awards at the Player of the Season awards. In the end, I think most people were happy with that as a Player of the Season choice.
Mm.
Yeah, I picked him as my Player of the Year. I just thought that he was our always, in, you know, since Christmas onwards, he was our main threat, and you know, even before Christmas. I remember there was a moment in the Crystal Palace Carling Cup game in the last few minutes where he took his man on, beat him, and it's like all his confidence suddenly came back. He'd been playing full-back earlier in the season, and it seemed to just take a little bit of an edge off his game. He'd almost like moved back up into his natural position, and he all clicked again, and then he was just unplayable some weeks. Certainly at Old Trafford, he seemed to, you know, tear a different fullback apart every week, and you know, he scored. You know, his own teammates valued him, the fans valued him. I mean, you know, you can't really argue with that, I don't think.
I think sometimes, without taking anything away from Antonio, to win all three as well, the timing of the awards and when the votes take place, I think, does have an impact. I think, you know, at that time he was absolutely sensational. It was around the time of the Blackburn goal, wasn't it, when he was the key man really for us. I voted for Carrick, and I thought Johnny Evans had a really good season as well, and I think they must have been quite close. But it's interesting to see that the players voted for him as well. So, I mean, you know, he's obviously got the backing of everybody.
That was outstanding, and he didn't start playing till September, October, was it?
That's right.
Missed the first couple of months where we were firing goals in all over the place. Eight against Arsenal, three against Chelsea, three against Spurs early on in the season. But he come back and started playing as if he hadn't been missing at all. Such a great physique on him as well. So hopefully, I've never met him, but he seems a sort of lad, I think, who, coming into the dressing room at United 2-3 years ago, he's thinking, oh, I'm sat next to Wayne Rooney, Rio Ferdinand, a bit overawed really, I think. But it's took him, it took his time to get back into it, but I think you'll see him now blossom even further. You know, he got a so important goal at Blackburn with 10 minutes to go, the first goal. No, I wouldn't like to play against him.
Yeah, quiet lad off the pitch, but loves to rip defenders apart when he's on it, which is quite bizarre, isn't it? But obviously, for him, the highlight of the season will have been winning the awards and doing as well as he did. But for you guys, what was the sort of high point of the campaign? Lots of highs, obviously, a massive low at the end, but what stands out?
Well, it's a strange season. I spoke about at the beginning. We had Tottenham, Arsenal, Chelsea here at home very early in the season. Three tough games, and I thought, this could be tough here. But we got off to a flyer. Highlight of the season. Well, I certainly know what the down point was, watching City score six here. Everton getting four goals, which I'll never see again. They'll never do that in my lifetime again. Highlight of the season, that win at Tottenham, it was a crucial game. We struggled the first half, and I think Young chipped in with two goals. So to go away from home then, and then that just seemed to set us, sort of, the confidence was flying then, and we were really unbeatable. But we'll get over the disappointment. For us, a bit of golf in the summer, a bit of sun hopefully, and then come back next season and then hopefully get ready to cheer them on to another Premiership.
I've been thinking about this recently, about what my memories will be of the season, and obviously, you know, disappointing ones at the end. But I know it's not a usual one to pick, but I remember being at Leeds and Giggsy scoring his goal there. Hmm. Just the moment where the Leeds fans are baiting him, giving him lots of stick, gets the ball from a corner, nutmegs somebody, sticks it in the net, and just sort of, you know, gestures to them as if to say, you know, I'm still... And it was almost like being back in the early 90s, you know, where they used to give Sharpie a lot of stick down at Leeds, and it just seemed like so fitting that even at his age, you know, he's still doing it, still able to respond to people when they're sort of taking the mickey out of him and having a go at him. And I thought that was something, being so close to that incident, that I'll sort of remember for a long time. I think even the Blackburn game was a low here. Obviously getting beaten by them, and they've ended up getting relegated. But when we were back at 2-1 and just watching it from the press box, and the way we attacked at Stretford End and the way everybody was getting behind us, again, just for a couple of minutes, that was what I think Sporting United is all about, you know, where everyone's piling together in the same sort of vein, that the players are all sort of going forward, we're putting pressure on, winning corners. Valencia, again, was outstanding then. So, strange as it may sound, those two are probably the two memories I have most from this season.
I think mine would have been Blackburn away, because I just thought it was absolutely, you know, it was just the pilot, you know, just suddenly building up, and then 10 minutes ago the nerves are kicking in, and then we just find that goal and then we score again, and just the celebrations amongst the fans were almost as if they knew the title was coming, which in hindsight feels awful, you know, it's not a great memory, but it would have been that. But I think Liverpool at home, just because everything had been going on around the game, and we'd lost to them in the FA Cup, you know, just before, and then, you know, there was the whole thing about the handshake that wasn't and all that kind of thing, and then to beat them and to see Everton, see what it meant to Everton, I think was probably my highlight of the season. It was certainly, the fans always enjoy beating Liverpool, don't we, let's face it. So, yeah, I would say it was that.
I'd have to throw in, for me, when, again at Leeds actually, in the tunnel, when the teams were announced and all the journalists around me are that waiting there with their pens and papers out, ready to jot down the side, and the guy comes out from the United dressing room with the team sheet, reads it out and says, Zeki Friars. And the journalists just kind of... Who? Turn around, who's Zeki Friars? And just sort of thinking, fantastic, one of the youngsters has landed, doing his debut at Elland Road against Leeds in a game like that was fantastic. And also, obviously, one thing we haven't touched on yet, Paul Scholes re-signing for United, which was incredible. Really sort of gave us momentum, which in the end didn't quite get us where we needed to be. But what a moment that was when everyone heard he was coming back.
Took everybody by shock over the cup game at Eastlands FA Cup match. It took everybody by shock, but certainly... again, it's probably just like him being out injured for 4 or 5. I know he was training with the young lads and what have you and keeping fit, but totally different from stepping onto the pitch and playing the first team game with 75,000 people watching you. But to come back straight in the team and start playing as if he hadn't been out,
scoring
was just incredible.
Goals,
yeah,
well, it's
unbelievable. But we see the finished article on a Saturday or a Sunday or during the week. But there's a lot of stuff goes on during the week with training and everything, how he handles himself. And I think the young lads obviously look up to him and Giggsy, and that's why they're still at the club, not only for the performances on the pitch, but how they conduct themselves off the pitch.
I think you saw as well when he came back, he was almost better than he had been before he retired. Yeah. He came back, he's almost like he'd missed it so much, so when he came back, his enthusiasm and everything was, you know, he made the difference in the second half of the season. I doubt we'd have got as close as we did without him coming back.
Well, Michael Carrick, who was outstanding, especially the second half of the season, probably would admit that part of that was due to having Scholesy on his right-hand side, you know.
He didn't play at Wigan, did he, in the game?
Yeah, he lost, yeah.
Well, that's what the guys here think. Let's hear now from Wayne Rooney, who's talking here about how United will bounce back and win trophies next season.
There's obviously been some good moments in the season and some disappointing moments, but, you know, that's how sometimes that's how it goes, and we have to believe in ourselves. We have to look forward to the next season now, and hopefully we can win some trophies next season. And I'm sure we'll be back, and you know the fans are behind us. We all believe in ourselves, so I'm sure there's every chance we'll be back next season.
Any defining moments in the season for you?
I think obviously the biggest disappointment is obviously the Everton game. It's to be 4-2 up in with 10 minutes to go, and to lose that lead is disappointing. But you know we'll learn from that. A lot of young players now in the team, and that's only going to benefit them. They'll learn from that, and you know, hopefully that'll help them.
OK, great to hear there from Wayne Rooney. Now let's turn our attention to the end-of-season quiz here on the podcast, and I'll direct one question in turn to each of our panellists here today, starting with Paul.
OK.
Go first. And the question for you is, who assisted the first goal of the season? You're allowed to show your workings out loud.
Right, OK. First goal of the season, so that was Rooney, therefore it was Ashley Young played the ball into Rooney and then he put it in the corner through someone's legs, I think.
Spot on, Ashley Young, that is correct.
Against?
I watched it the other day.
West Brom.
Yeah, West Brom away.
That's right.
You watched it, you cheat.
I watched it the other day, not mine. I didn't know the question was going to be asked.
Okay, Adam, true or false?
50-50.
Rooney scored the only hat tricks this season.
Berber didn't get one. Hernandez.
Gonna have to hurry you.
True.
It's false, I'm afraid. Oh, Dimitar Berbatov against Wigan.
Wigan.
Oh, of course, yeah. The penalty we got there.
Oh, sorry, Berber.
So there we are. There we are. Adam with one incorrectly. Now here's one for Arthur.
Did you know that?
Including new signings, how many players made their debuts for Manchester United this season competitively?
All competitions.
That's the toughest question so far.
That's an absolute shocker. Right, let's get that dartboard out. how many players made a debut competitively in the first team?
In the first team.
Young lads. You mentioned Zeki Friars. Lano Kokomon in that game as well. I'm going to take a stab and say eight.
Oh, that's very close. Anyone else?
I think I've got nine in my head.
I'm going to go for 10.
Adam is correct. It's nine.
No good now, is it?
That was a tricky one.
Not a bad effort.
De Gea, Jones, Young, Cleverley, Pogba, Lionel Cole, Michael Keane, William Keane, Zeki Friars. Paul, back to you. Can you name all the goal scorers in order from the Arsenal 8-2 game?
Including theirs.
Brilliant, thanks.
Just our guys.
Both teams.
I probably won't even get the first one right. both teams. Right, well, it was Welbeck first.
Correct.
And then it was Young.
Correct.
And then it was Walcott. Was it Rooney? Yeah, then Walcott.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Rooney again.
Correct.
And then
five down, five to go.
Park.
Almost.
Van Persie, then Park.
No.
Park scored the scoreboard. Then.
Nani.
Nani.
Then Park.
Then Park.
Then Van Persie.
Then Van Persie.
Then Young again? Rooney, then Young.
Yeah. That's it. That was impressive.
Very impressive.
A few little hiccups along the way, but that was impressive.
Everyone's the same shot, no danger.
OK, Adam, which Basel player collided with Vidic to end his season?
This
is one of the easier ones in the
quiz. I still can't remember his name. It's one of the strikers they've got, isn't it?
Yeah, it was an awkward challenge, wasn't it? Yeah.
I keep thinking Strella, but I'm not sure if it is. Marco Strella, was it?
That's correct, Marco Strella. Big guy landing on Vidic's knee like that would have been nasty, wouldn't it? Arthur, how many players have United utilised in the Premier League this season? we'll give you a choice on this, and I'll be kind. We'll be kind.
Well, I don't want any help, no. Got to be 28. 32.
32, that many, is it?
32 is the answer there. So there we are. That's a lot of players, to be fair. Yeah. A lot of experience for some of the younger players who did get involved, albeit briefly, but that's good. Paul, Wayne Rooney scored 34 goals this season, but how many did he net from the spot?
I'm going to say 11.
Close? Not quite, though. Adam, Arthur, any offers?
Well, so if it's close, it's got to be... I would go lower. 10.
9.
Nine.
Oh, sneaks in again.
Nine is correct. Okay, his form for quite a while now has been absolutely superb. Who was Sir Alex praising when he said that?
Johnny Evans?
No, but it's someone else who we've been talking about and praising in this podcast.
Michael Carrick?
Michael Carrick is the correct answer.
Sure, he said that about Johnny Evans as well.
I'm sure he did too. Final question. Which Premier League season did United finish with 89 points and a goal difference of plus 56, just like this campaign, and the same number of home and away wins?
Which season?
Correct.
There you go.
2006-07. Fantastic.
You actually say that anyway, by the way.
That's a good one. That's a good one. A bonus question now. This is open to the floor. What happened 35 years ago?
Now you're talking, yeah.
On the 21st of May, 1977.
We beat Liverpool in the FA Cup.
There we go. Spot on. Won the FA Cup against Liverpool, and of course
Scotland
you were involved.
Treble.
Great stuff. Mm. Well done, everybody, on that. Let's just quickly round up some transfer speculation, if you like, at the end of this podcast, because there's lots of people being mentioned in terms of coming here to Old Trafford. Eden Hazard, perhaps. Kagawa, of course, as well. Modric. Lots of people being thrown in the mix. Mm-hmm. What on earth is going to happen in the course of the next few weeks here?
Well, one thing's for sure, we touched on it a little bit before, he won't get involved in an auction, the manager, because, if City are sniffing around in Chelsea around some players, it's just going to be exorbitant money. But from what we're hearing about the young lad Hazard, it looks as if he's getting touted about to maybe where's he going to get the best deal. And as I said before, the manager will want you to join the club not for monetary reasons, for reasons that football basically orientated, and that'll be it. So I can't see. Well, from what we're reading, that lad will go somewhere else. I think Modric probably. I think wants to stay in London. He's been quoted as saying, but. I'm sure there'll be a few irons in the fire, and it's people that not quite right up there like that everybody's talking about, but certainly...
Like Chicharito was when
correct,
he came
yeah.
here.
Yeah. And I think, obviously Berbatov's going to be leaving. Owens, obviously, well, didn't play a lot of games, Michael anyway, but he's leaving. So I think the manager will probably be prioritising another striker, I think, because they're the players that invariably miss games through injury because they're getting lumps kicked out of them all the time. So I would think he'd be looking for an experienced striker to come in and bolster the squad.
I think he's been looking at midfielders as well, certainly attacking midfielders. I mean, in an ideal world, he'd get us another Roy Keane, but as he says, they don't grow on trees. And it would be great if we could get that attacking talent that we need. It sounds like Kagawa might be interested and might come for the right reasons, not for the money. In which case, he would be another type of signing that we've made in recent years, which is buy them, turn them into something, buy them for the potential and, for the impact they can make in, they can still make an impact now, but grow into something a lot better. And then we'll be able to compete with Manchester City. They're ready right now. We'll be ready next season and onwards. So,
I think, I mean, we will compete for transfers, and David Gill said the same, hasn't he? Last year, we did try and sign a big-name player. All this talk about, you know, United not splashing the cash. And, you know, we did try and go for perhaps Snyder and Nasri, it seemed, in the end. So you would expect us to go for players. I think all we can say is that United are brilliant at keeping it close to their chest. You know, nobody knows. All this in-the-know talk here, and people know this, and people hear whispers about that, and nobody really knows. I think, you know, like we're at the club every day, and the club keep it a very closely guarded secret. So when we do sign players, I'm sure it'll be a bit of a surprise, and it won't be something that we've been reading about for weeks, and that's probably the best way to go about it.
Always fascinating as well to see on ManUnited.com the totaliser of how many people are coming, supposedly, and how much we're going to spend on them as well, because, quite frankly, it all gets ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's just about it from us. Thanks, guys. Great to see you, and, of course, enjoy your summers as well. Thank you to you for listening as well. And, as always, do feel free to drop us an email. The email address is red.voices@manunited.co.uk. That's red.voices@manunited.co.uk. So thank you to Paul, to Adam, and to Arthur. And I've been David, of course, from MUTV. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you very soon. Bye-bye.